going to read two passages. First one is Galatians 3. Actually, there should be a slide for this. Where's the slide guy gone? Gone to be with Jesus? Okay, I'll tell you what it is. So it's Galatians 3, 26 to 28, and the other one is Philippians 2, 3 to 8. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Turning to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, having the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We're doing a series called Jesus the Game Changer, and this is the second in the series, focusing on equality. This week I was in conversation with some doctors, and they were talking together about an emergency operation they'd been involved with. The person was a drug user and had come into the hospital and received world-class medical treatment. Why? In many other countries, she wouldn't have got that. Why did she get that in Australia? Well, because she has the right in Australia to equal treatment, regardless of her choices. She was there because of her lifestyle choices. If I were to ask people here if they believe that are people of equal value and worth, I'll be shocked to find a single person that disagrees with me. I might find, if I surveyed in the malls, some people that might disagree with me, but I'd be shocked if that were the case today. Equality is a foundational value in Western democracies. It's a thing that we hold to be true. The Declaration of Independence in the United States says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone loves equality. Nobody disagrees with equality. Inequality actually sounds bad, doesn't it? But do you treat blind people unequally by denying them a driver's license, when other people clearly are permitted to drive? Do you treat convicted criminals unequally by putting them in jail when other people are free to move about as they wish? I mean, if you look at our society, there are many, many inequalities, and thank goodness for that. Sorry if you're not able to drive, but if you can't see, I don't want you on the road with me. Thank goodness. So we have something different in mind, don't we, when we say we believe people are equal? That there are times when they're not equal, and that's a good thing. So I wonder what we mean when we say that people are equal. Aristotle, the philosopher, he said regarding equality that things that are the same should be treated the same. Seems quite logical. While things that are unalike should be treated unalike in proportion to their unlikeness. He also saw equality and justice as linked. That if you were showing equality, it was just. And if you were not showing, you were unjust if you were treating people unequally. So things that are the same should be treated the same. Things that are unalike should be treated unalike. So just consider this with me. Would you be treating blind people differently? And sorry, I'm picking on blind people today. But would you be treating blind people differently by denying them the right to vote or by denying them a driver's license? In the first category, we'd say yes, you are treating a blind person unequally. Because the sameness, which is being a citizen of a country, is true for the blind person as much as it's true for the seeing person. So the sameness is the same, and we should treat people the same. They should be able to vote. But in the second case, when we're denying them a driver's license, we'd say, well, yes, we are treating them unequally, but that's not unjust, because there's a difference there. The difference is that they're not able to see, and that's an important characteristic required for driving. And so we need to adjust for that difference, and therefore it's not unjust. Seems quite clear, doesn't it? Seems quite clear. Well, it's clear until you understand that equality has no content of its own. When we say all people are equal, we can mean very different things. We can mean very different things between each other, and we definitely mean very different things across cultures and nations and time. It turns out that people decide who are equal, that some people are more equal than others. So who gets to decide what is the sameness that we measure each other by, and what is the unlikeness that we measure each other by? For instance, Aristotle, who came up with this great idea about how you figure out what's equal, believed that slaves weren't the same fundamentally as Athenian citizens. That he believed that there were classes of people. At the top there were aristocrats, and at the bottom there were slaves. And women and children were property. So there was no need for him to think, well, am I treating a slave unequally? Because he'd say, no, they're not the same as us. They're different. Or women, they're different, they're property, they're not the same. I get certain privileges because I'm an aristocrat or a philosopher, but these people are different. In the Declaration of Independence, it said that it is self-evident that all men are created equal. Well, it wasn't self-evident to them. That didn't include slaves. So it took another 89 years after a bloody war for them to figure out that when they said all men are created equal, that included slaves. It took over a century later for them to figure out that also included women. And then in 1963, when Martin Luther stood at Lincoln Memorial, he still said, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Even by that time, under the Jim Crow laws, they still hadn't agreed what was the sameness about people. That if you were black, I didn't have to treat you with equivalent rights if I were white and male. So equality, it turns out, means what we want it to mean. In Nazi Germany, they turned Jewish citizens into different people. Different categories, which meant that they could treat them terribly. In South Africa, the same. On and on it goes. In Australia, exactly the same happened with our first Australians. We didn't call them people. We called them a subclass of people in the evolutionary chain. And so that gave us every opportunity to treat them like, well, actually worse than our dogs. Everybody loves equality. Nobody can argue against equality. I'm just not sure we know what it means. Well, the followers of Jesus have some idea of at least what they think it means. And there are four ways that I want us as followers of Jesus to mean when we say we believe all people are equal. And the first way is that all people are created in the image of God. Genesis 1 tells us that we were Adam and Eve, created in the image of God, male and female, God created them. Which means, firstly, that we have a relationship with God. We are, to every person, created to relate with God. We're meant to image God, reflect Him like a mirror to other people, which means you need to be looking, if you like, at God. You're meant to reflect Him to all creations. We are created for a relationship. We are created with the dignity of being in His image. In all of creation, we are singled out as the unique ones created in God's image. We're created with dignity, and we're created with responsibility to live that out to creation. We're given a call, go and make this your dominion and be fruitful and multiply. So James, in James 3:9, he says this, talking about how people in church were treating each other badly, is he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. So he says, on the one hand, you worship God in your songs and your word, but on the other hand, you take the person who's been made in the very image and likeness of God, and you curse them. You should not do that. If you do that, if you lift one, you should lift up the other. And so he uses this idea of the image of God to say, these people have dignity and worth. Do not disparage them. Later on, we're going to do a series called Australians Together. And what you'll find out in that series is one of the rescuing features in the Australian history was the fact that Christians believe that Aboriginal people, different colour, different skin, different culture, were created in the image of God and were worthy of better treatment than they were getting. Second way that we are all equal is that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That doesn't sound like a great piece of news, does it? You're all sinners. Well, let us be clear on this. We are also unequal in the same way. We are not God. Every single one of us here is not God, in case you missed the memo. We were created to be glorious, but we live our lives as if we are God. And there are consequences to that. We live out a broken reflection of God's image, and at times a dangerous reflection. The scriptures tell us that just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. All have sinned against God. It's the great leveler. It keeps us from any self-righteousness, superiority, thinking that we're better than we are. And it means for those of us who wake up and go, I get this, it humbles us. It doesn't matter what status you have in society, what title, what education, what gender you are, the Bible tells us we're all accountable to God and we're all sinners. We're all in trouble. And it means that when I wake up and go, I'm in trouble, I'm a sinner, I've got to take responsibility for my acts. I've got to receive God's grace for me. It affects the way I treat somebody else. They might make a mistake. You ever notice that? People around you making mistakes? Yeah. And you can say to yourself, well, there, by the grace of God, go I. We're all sinners. The third one is where all can be saved. God's grace is offered to everybody. 1 Timothy 4:10 tells us that Jesus Christ is Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. We read in Galatians 3:28 about who can belong to the people of God. And Paul writes that there's not Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. If you, it doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter what status, doesn't matter what gender, you can belong to the people of God. Everyone's welcome. Everyone is offered the rescue. Everyone gets God's grace. Kind of affects the way you think about each other, doesn't it? I don't have any right to say nobody's allowed to come through that door. No right. I have no right to say, you've done too many bad things. You cannot belong here. No right. Because if they're fully accepted by God, regardless, I get no say in saying no to them. All can be saved. And finally, the fourth one is all can contribute. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, consider yourself gifted or not. Turns out that everyone has a part to play. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we're all a body. We need each one of each person to contribute what they have. It does say that it's not the same. You're not going to preach or sing or dance or whatever. But we need every single one of you to contribute. So, we are equal in these kinds of ways. We have been given dignity because we're created in the image of God. We have opportunity for repentance and humility because we are all sinners. All are welcome regardless of their history, of their race, of their gender. All can belong and everyone can contribute regardless of whether they think they're talented, rich or not. That's what we get when we say people are all equal. Did you notice in Galatians, it said that you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is the way that we think as followers of Jesus when it comes to people, but it's especially the way we act towards one another. It changes the way we think of each other. Because we're in Christ Jesus, I can now look at anybody who's also a follower of Christ Jesus and now call them a sister or a brother, can't I? Before that happened, I would have called them a fellow human. But now I look at them and go, you're a sister and a brother. There's a story, there's a letter in the New Testament called Philemon, a really short letter. And it's a letter about a master being a brother to a slave. Philemon being asked by Paul to treat a slave, Onesimus, as his brother. What turns a person's mind from saying, I own you, to now I'm your brother? Jesus. Jesus changes your mind on that. What turns the Hutu and the Tutsis from being sworn enemies to now being brother or sister? Jesus does that. And on it goes. What turns the Jew and the Greek, who had nothing to do with each other, would not eat together, to now considering themselves family and brother and sister? Jesus. On it goes. And it's not just, it starts there. It should start here, but it turns out it's good for the world as well. For those of you who've done the small group, you'll know that, say, Lord Shaftesbury believed that slavery should stop. And it's because his world was formed by this view of Jesus that everyone matters in these kinds of ways. That slavery should stop because they too are my brother. Now, our world, it focuses on equality in this kind of way. Just like Aristotle, it says it's a matter of justice, that people should get the same thing. And justice is important. But I wonder if it's everything. Because did you notice from the Philippians 2 reading what Jesus does with his equality with God? Do you remember? He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but gave it up. He made himself nothing. He gives his equality away, his rights away to serve. That's how it works with the people of God. Is we don't fight for our rights, we give them away for the good of others. For the people of God, equality is about relationships and responsibilities. That's what it's about. It's about love. Am I loving to you in the way that God would love you? You're now in a relationship with me. What responsibility do I have towards you? That's the way it works in church. It's not about rights, it's about relationships. And that's the way it's going to work with us, isn't it? I'd be very surprised if anybody comes up to me and says, well, Jason, now you've told me what we're all equal and you've got to treat me this way. But what I will notice is I bet you I'll see you treating each other with dignity and respect. I bet you I'll notice that people will be humble because they too know they are sinners. I bet you I'll notice that people are thankful because they know God rescued them. It's amazing. I bet you I'll notice that people will give what they can. That's the way it works. I want to tell you some amazing news. That's the way the world changes. The world changes when people like you and I don't fight for our rights, but actually give them up for the good of others and treat people just the way that God wants us to do. By the way, I want to go to that church, don't you? I really do. Let's pray. So, oh God, I'm so amazed that you made us in your image, that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I'm amazed that everybody's welcome. And I'm amazed that all of us can contribute. There is such dignity in Jesus, your view of the world. And I would love it if more of us knew this dignity for ourselves. I would love it if more people came into our church and experienced that here. And I would love it if I lived in a nation where that were more true in more places. So I'm asking God that you might work by your Spirit in us first, and then help us to work in this world in that kind of way. This I pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.